Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
It is not a dead end to your life. Your life is not over. It just means now you're getting onto the path of what you could have been. That path obviously was not the right path.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am so super excited to be chatting with you all again this week about a pretty fabulous topic. And of course, I am sitting here with my mother, Barb, who hopefully is equally as excited to be sitting with us as well. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. She's saying that because I've been a little under the weather the past week.
Yeah.
But I am very excited to be here.
Poor you. You've had a rough... I gotta say, my entire life, obviously, I've known you my whole life as my mother. You are usually a beacon of health, knock on all the wood and everything. You generally are made of steel. We used to call you the Energizer Bunny when I was little because you just kept going with lots of energy and all of that stuff. So this year to see all of the health complications that you've had has been a challenge or a change to... It's been sad to see you suffer because I'm not used to seeing you less than your Energizer Bunny self. So how's it going, Mom?
That's what I was going to, I love that you said it that way. Yeah. I've always been someone who has a lot of energy. And I think that's truly one of the main benefits, I believe, after 40 years of my meditation practice, that you do have energy. You have the ability to do a lot of things because you're able to meditate and then go about your life and then pause when you need to redirect and do all the things that you need to do. But what I want to say is you're right. I've never had any real medical complications, and what a blessing.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. What a blessing. And very, you know, I certainly don't take it for granted, but what a blessing. But just because you meditate and do all the right things and eat all the right things doesn't mean that life isn't going to bring you certain medical complications, and none of it is very severe. But it's certainly...
Well, but we weren't sure.
We aren't sure. Yeah. But it's certainly taken its toll on my energy. I've been sleeping more, I think, than I've ever slept in my entire life. And it's been good to be able to sleep that much. And it's really helped me come back. And I'm not sure, does my voice sound a little bit raspy?
You're a little raspy today, but it's cute.
Okay.
You know, so, like Phoebe Buffay, when she was sick in Friends, everyone loves a little raspy voice.
I think you said that.
I think I did too.
In another episode.
I was having a deja vu as I said it.
When I was under the weather. So, but I'm very excited to be here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, and I'm really happy to be with all of you listening.
Yes, we are so happy that you are on the mend and that, thank goodness, there are not any issues that can't be solved. But it is true that your health is everything. And again, I know I also say this almost every episode, we are living together right now. So I've been with you witnessing your suffering and your struggles. And so it's, I'm so happy that you have a little extra pep in your step today, that you're on the mend and that you're able to record this episode for this week.
Well, it's interesting because you've been the queen of taking care, self-care, helping me do some self-care and actually some caring for me. I don't know. I hope the words of this episode come out, because that's kind of what's been happening. I feel like a little bit my brain is a little word soup, but I know you've not lived with me your whole life, but you've known me your whole life, obviously. And for you to witness all of this had to be very different and maybe sometimes a little bit scary. So it's been a blessing, actually, to see how we can be together in all of this and you taking care and doing so many things for me and me allowing you to, which may be a good episode one day, and me allowing you to and not feeling frustrated or irritated that I can't do for myself.
Yeah.
I truly let you do what I needed and rested. So,
well, you couldn't for a lot of ways, even with your knee, you had to rest. And with these recent complications that you've had, you physically couldn't. And rather than fighting it, you had to just surrender to the situation and let other people take care of you, which is hard. I mean, we could do a whole episode on letting people be there for you and releasing the control of thinking that you need to do everything for yourself.
Yes.
Which I think we will. But yes, it's been a wonderful, but not wonderful experience. It's been great that we are living together because I could be there for you. And I'm excited about today's episode because this is a topic we've discussed a lot in the past. I know I've written a lot about it. We've done a lot on social media about it. But interestingly enough, it's a topic that despite having this particular awareness about it and consciousness of the dynamic of it and sometimes the pain that comes from it, it pops up all the time for us, for probably all of you listening. It's not something that we can rid ourselves of in our lives, despite probably our desires to. And we recently had a situation just a few days ago where this popped up, where we were like, wow, this is perfect timing because we're about to talk about this and we're kind of dealing with these dynamics yet again. And it's like, just like with everything else in life, each new iteration of a lesson brings new perspective and feelings and insights, but it's almost like it's ever present that it continues. Like it's just a part of life. And so today we're going to talk about rejection again and how that dynamic of feeling rejected or being rejected from a person, a place, an opportunity, a group of people, buying a house and being rejected from it, anything, you know, rejection pops up in every single aspect of our lives and it's painful. And we have some insights that we want to share about it in a fresh way. And I know, Mom, you have a lot of personal stories that you haven't even really shared with me too much about rejection. And so we really wanted to revisit this topic and dive deeper into it because it's affecting all of us.
And I also want to say that in this episode, we're going to take it in another direction as well. It's really interesting for me, and I'll start it off with this, that when we don't get what we want, like if we don't get the job that we're looking for, or in my case, when I got divorced last year, the marriage that I was in for 33 years ended, or if something happens and someone close to us in our family dies, there's always some place inside of us that feels like, not only do we feel sad and there's so many feelings that go along with that, but I'm not sure that we always connect it with rejection. And it isn't until later that I realized for myself that when I got past some of the feelings of sadness or anger or frustration or guilt, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times a lot of guilt goes with that. It wasn't until later that I thought I was just rejected. Mm-hmm. And it's almost interesting to correlate that with death as well. There's a part of us, I think somehow the guilt for me led right to rejection in some form. So I love that we're going to talk today about it in other aspects. And I think also looking as we reflect back on life, that was the other part of it that I wanted to talk about. As we reflect back, sometimes I think that is the key. When we can sometimes sit in quiet, that's why I love my quiet time and my meditation time, we can really look back and sometimes those situations come back up in our lives, they pop back up in our minds, and we say, oh my goodness, yeah, I remember how sad and how angry and how all of my feelings were just going haywire when I didn't get that job. Mm-hmm. Or even in my case, as I've reflected back on my marriage, And I think to myself, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. You know, so those words come to us as well. So I just wanted to say I'm excited to talk about those aspects of the idea of feeling rejected.
Yes. I think it's a very interesting journey when faced with rejection to ultimately lead yourself to the gratitude of thank goodness. I actually love that as an affirmation in a rejection, like thank goodness, because I'm so grateful because I've trusted that my timeline and that my life path won't betray me and that the rejection is a redirection, which is what we've talked about in the past. And I'm so grateful to where I am now, which is not easy. It is a journey and we're going to rewind and kind of go through all of this. But those are the silver linings to some of the difficult and painful parts of life. When a door is closed, you know, like the famous saying says, when one door is closed, another is open. And just because we can't always see what possibility is around the corner when we're faced with a rejection, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have something else coming for us.
Yes. That it's not necessarily the end, but that's a long time coming in many instances. And I just want to backtrack a second. This doesn't really involve death. I don't think that I've ever gotten to a place when someone close to me has died where I've said, thank goodness.
Well,
I know. I don't know if I've ever gotten to that place, but I have gotten to a place, wow, as a result of all the feelings and all the things that have happened in the process. And that's why reflection is so very, very vital in our lives.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be the person that I am today in many aspects without having a reflection practice.
Death is certainly different. But I will say with my dad dying, he was unexpectedly when I was 21, he was facing an uphill battle with his life and some challenges of his own. And after a long time, you and I have both said, and I say this with a specific situation in our family and with lots of different aspects to this story
and health
this
issues.
Does not go across the board. And this is not in an insensitive or cruel way, but there was almost a gratitude that he didn't have to suffer what was coming for him because he passed unexpectedly. So we did come to a gratitude of like, thank goodness that he wasn't here for this.
To have to endure that suffering.
Thank goodness he didn't have to endure what was coming for him. Again, that was a long journey. It's been almost 20 years, but
you're right.
You never know where your healing can take you.
You're right.
Which is, you just never know.
I'm glad you said that. I just wanted to make the caveat, but I'm really glad you said that I just wanted to clarify it because I didn't want people out there feeling like we can get to a place of saying, thank goodness they're gone. Because I know you and I miss him very much from time to time, very much. You often will say, I miss Dad. So it's not about the missing. It's not about the feelings of it. It's about the overall essence that you feel from the inside out that they're in a better place. And just what you said about your dad, it was almost, trust your timing. It was almost his perfect timing because he had a lot of suffering ahead of him. So
and
I hope that makes sense. I was just trying to make sure that we're not saying that you're going to one day wake up and say, oh, thank goodness they're dead.
No.
Yeah, I did not mean that at all.
No. And just to wrap that piece up, you know, I do. I miss my dad every day. I think about him every day. It's very sad that he's not here. However, I never want to paint, you know, especially when I put up things on social media about him or, you know, his anniversary of his death or things like that. I miss him. And in many aspects, I wish he were here for, you know, to see this chapter of my life and all of that. But I never want to paint the picture that the relationship that we had was perfect and that the dynamics that he and I had as a mother or as a father and a daughter and that as a family was perfect and that there were not very complicated aspects that were traumatic and that caused a lot of pain. And he was not perfect. And when he passed unexpectedly, it was in the middle of a really challenging chapter for us as a family, I guess, for lack of a better word, that after his death led to a long series of traumatic events, which again, does not matter. But I just want to say that, I guess, somehow from all of that, you can get to the place through many years of healing and reflection, like you said, and going through my grief and therapy and just perspective and hindsight being 2020, where to almost 20 years later, I can separate out the person that I had many, many, many fond memories with from the person and the dynamics that caused pain and suffering. And so that is how we can get to the place today where it's like trusting his timing, trusting our timing, finding a silver lining in, you know, it's funny, and we were not meant to go down the death road in this episode.
I'm so sorry I said it.
No, but I think it's really interesting. You know, my dad died at 59, and he constantly said to me, to you, to everyone, he didn't want to be 60. And we say this to each other all the time. It's wild how he manifested that for himself. He died a few months before turning 60.
He kind of knew. I think he kind of knew.
He did.
Life was really difficult for him at that point.
So, anyways,
I'm glad you shared
but
that.
But I think it's an interesting aspect of all of what we're going to talk about today.
It is. And just to close it up, since we're right on this subject, because I was going to say this later, I think, when I tell my story about my childhood of trauma and abuse and feeling like I didn't belong and being rejected and always feeling rejected and especially feeling rejected by my mother, when she passed away, we were at a very good place. And she's been gone 28 years, maybe, or something like that, a long time. She died at 61. As I reflect, often, I mean like every maybe a couple times a year or three times a year, as I reflect, I always have a sense of, even though I felt so rejected by her for so many years, especially as a child and a young adult, and I'm reflecting, I always have a feelings of warmness and grace. And I always think to myself, Mom, you're in such a better place and our relationship got to a good place because I used to have this Pollyanna idea that if I just did things better, if things just got better, if she just did things better, if we all just did whatever we were supposed to do in a better way, more perfect way or more family way, things would change and we would have the, you guys are really going to date me now, the Norman, Ozzie and Harriet story or the
Norman Rockwell.
And that was never going to be. So as I look back now, as she's been gone for so long, there is a gratitude in me that she came here and did. I'm a firm believer, like to my core, that we all come here with a certain point or a mission or a belief, whatever it is. I feel like we come here to do whatever it is we came to do. And when that time is up, like your dad, I think he knew. I'm not so sure. The manifest thing I get, but I'm not so sure it was manifested as he already, like he had this intuitive thing.
I didn't mean manifest in the traditional sense.
I know what you meant, but he was such a deeply spiritual person. I think he just knew.
Yeah.
So I need to get everything done that I'm going to get done in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Because once I'm gone, maybe the shit's going to hit the fan, which it did, as you described beautifully. So all that being said, that we can feel rejected. That's where I wanted to go with this. Even with our most loving people on the planet, we can still feel some rejection and we still love them or we still care about them and we're so confused. And sometimes in death and years later, as we reflect back, it all makes sense and we can live with it even more. Like I've little by little over these years, so much let go of my childhood and all of the things that I had so much anger and resentment and guilt about. I'm at a place, if someone asked me today, how close were you with your mother? I would say very. She was a wonderful, she did what she was supposed to do. She was wonderful in the end. It all didn't go well, that's for sure. But I love her very much, which is wild when I'm saying this to all of you right now.
Well, that's what healing is.
It is.
It's getting to a place of perspective and understanding.
I think when you can, even with my divorce, I certainly am not anywhere near anything like that. But I also can look back on it with some reflection now. It's only been a year. With some reflection now and say, you know what? I did the best that I could. Mm-hmm. And so the guilt is, any guilt that I might have had or any thoughts I might have had, especially, you know, with you, Michelle, or whatever, is fading and going away and pretty much gone. But I'm still not to the place that a forgiveness of, you know, well, he did the best he could or any of those kind of things. So I just want to make a, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a, but I also don't feel rejected.
Yeah.
And one day I'm going to tell the whole story, which I think will be cool. I know I've talked about it before, but some of the whole story, but that idea of feeling rejected, going back to my original point, sorry, this is so, I hope this makes sense. We have to listen this back and make sure it does make sense. I'm not sure we name it rejection. So that's where I want to go.
Yep.
We may feel rejected. I'm not sure we say to ourselves, I just got rejected. I feel very rejected. I'm not sure because I don't know if I have to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So
rejection away, is Michelle. The name of the game today. And it's painful, as we've discussed. But at times, rejection can be a blessing in disguise. And so we wanted to talk about how we can get ourselves to a place of viewing rejection as that redirection, like we said, or as being guided, or as just life unfolding in a way that we can't maybe understand, but that is in our best interest, that we're on our path and that our path won't betray us, and that sometimes we think we know what we want, but maybe what we think is not what's in our best interest. I remember, you know, in a relationship when I was in my 20s, I was so stubborn in maintaining that, thinking that that was what was best for me and that I would do anything to keep it because I didn't want to feel the rejection. And when it did finally end and I was able to zoom out and have some perspective, I was like, of course, that was not what was in my best interest to stay in that relationship. I had to let go and be open to something else. And I'm so grateful for that now, again, after years of healing from that. So it's a journey, it's a practice, but there's a lot of beauty that comes in that journey towards changing your perspective about rejection.
And can I just love to come in here?
Yeah.
This relationship you're in. Talking about. And I think the idea of rejection in general, I believe now as I've looked at rejection and I've reflected on it so much because I have had that feeling in life. I came into this world, I think, or especially at a young age with all of the trauma and the abuse, I came into this feeling like I was a reject. Like something was the matter with me and I needed to fix myself and I needed to figure out how to get out of this situation that I'm in, whatever that was in my childhood or even in young adulthood. I need to fix myself. And after all my years of meditation practice and self-care work and all of the things that I do, I've come to the place that at the core, rejection is a message that's telling us that something isn't in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Something just doesn't align. And I'm thinking about your relationship that you're talking about, and I'm thinking about everything. Something just, it's a message. So as you say, can we get a different vantage point of looking at rejection when we are rejection? Now, mind you, I want to make sure you all hear this. This is after you feel the feelings. I'm really angry. I'm really sad. I'm really heartbroken. All the feelings, we go through all the feelings first. We don't just jump to these things that Michelle and I are talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could never do, and I don't believe we're meant to. We're meant to feel the feelings.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, whatever step process. And it takes time. We have to be patient, really, really patient. And why I'm saying this right now is if we can be patient and feel the feelings, and then as you feel the feelings and you allow yourself to get it out, we can get to this place of understanding or of even opening the door to understanding the rejection is a message that something didn't align.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what I always did when I got rejected was I always interpreted it as personal.
Of course.
I internalized it and it went down to my worth, my abilities, my looks, everything, my weight, you name it, it went down to the whole package of Barb, there's something wrong with her. And so if we can actually look at this instead of, I think it's because I didn't feel the feelings. The feeling came and I was hurt or I was sad or I was angry, whatever it was. And then I bottled up the feeling because I didn't know what to do with it back then. And so I just said, it's me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even allow myself to open the door to the possibility that it was not me, that it was just things didn't align. And it's not personal. It just means that I am good enough, but not for this situation. This, you know, why didn't this work out? Because it's not in alignment with me. Mm-hmm. What did I do wrong? Not necessarily anything. It just means it wasn't for me. And I think if we can not look at rejection as an inadequacy on our part, that something isn't right about us, maybe something isn't right about the whole path that we were on for this particular situation, and we're not meant for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time. And that's why I think we have to feel the feelings first. We have to get to the feeling. Because once you're crying enough or once you're angry enough, then you get tired. And this is where I learned about reflection, I think. And then I get tired and I'd sit there. Obviously, this was in the later days of my life. And I'd sit there and I'd say, what is happening? And it's almost like, well, maybe they weren't right for me. You know what? Maybe that job, I actually didn't like it so much. I was just using it for the next stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe life is trying to tell me, you're done. Now get to the next stepping stone. And what are some, just all those creative things, all those creative thoughts, I think, start to come to us when we allow ourselves to feel the feelings and move out of the crying and the anger or the resentment stage. And we get into the, where the mind can be more open to, you know, I didn't actually like it anyway. And that's kind of where I went with this divorce. I wasn't happy. Right. And I remember you saying that to me, Mom, you weren't happy.
Right.
So I think it's a signal. Rejection can be a big signal that's maybe even a stoplight that says stop.
Yeah.
And then once we stop, then we can go with caution on the yellow light and we can feel the feelings. You know, or once we feel like we've been rejected, we can feel the feelings and then we can cautiously move through all of that process.
Mm-hmm.
And then the green light comes on. Okay, let me take that next step into whatever it is next for me.
Yeah, I think it's normal and natural.
When, just want to say, it's not a dead end. That was the thing I wanted to say at the end.
Absolutely.
It is not a dead end to your life. Your life is not over. You're not, your life is not, oh my gosh, I'll never be. Remember that George Eliot quote, it's never too late to be what we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
It just means now you're getting onto the path of what you could have been. That path obviously was not the right path. Kind of like it's the, now you're going to take the detour.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, maybe, you know, that the road less traveled there, that idea of two forks in the road, which one are we going to take? That diverged in the woods. And so I believe what's happening for me is I'm on a better suited path for myself of growth and happiness and all the things that I'm looking for. Not there yet. It's maybe some of these health issues are part of the journey for sure, but also part of the awakening that you just don't end one thing and go into the other and all is well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still uncovering so many other aspects of my life, my path, and this divorce.
Hey friends, I've been using AG1 in my daily routine for quite some time now, and I want to share a little bit about it with you today. AG1 is just the perfect supplement to my daily routine. It gives me all of the vitamins and nutrients that I need so that I know that no matter what I'm eating or drinking throughout the day, AG1 has got me covered. AG1 helps you build that healthy morning routine, which we all know is so important, in just 60 seconds. It can help you get your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, adaptogens, and more, which is why I've been taking AG1 religiously for the past 5 or 6 years. AG1 contains those prebiotics, probiotics, and gut-supporting ingredients to support your digestion, reduce bloating, and to keep you regular. Studies have shown that 97% of participants felt digestion improved after just 90 days of drinking AG1, which is amazing. So start with AG1 and notice the difference for yourself. It's a great first step to investing in your health, and that's why they've been proud to partner with us for so long. Try AG1 and get a free bottle of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest. That's a $48 value for free if you go to drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest. Check it out. Hey friends, do you ever feel like you're just too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, with dietary options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone, plus you don't have to lock in one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every single week. They even have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and ready in just 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you need to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Yes, and certainly going back a little bit, when faced with rejection, it's natural for the thoughts to come up of, what did I do wrong? Why am I not good enough for this? Why didn't this work out? You know, all of those critical thoughts about ourselves that lead us to feeling inadequate or to give the reason for why we were rejected. You know, we always want to know why. And in that reflection, hopefully we can come to a place of, okay, it's not that I'm not good enough. It's not that I'm inadequate. It's not that I'm not likable or good enough, or I know I said good enough twice, but maybe it's just because it wasn't meant for me. And then on the flip side, really leaning into that mindset of what is for me won't pass me by or won't miss me. And again, that's not easy because we often have these ideas or visualizations of what we really want in life. And I feel like a perfect example of this is oftentimes when you talk about or hear about stories of high school students applying to college, and we've worked with a lot of high school students, so we've viewed this, but you know, sometimes you hear and see that story of a student who their whole life has dreamt of going to one school, and they've always known that that's what they want. You know, they've had the posters in their walls since childhood. the whole thing. And they apply and they don't get in. And it's a devastation. And oh my gosh, this has been my identity, my dream for my whole life. I've worked for this my whole life. And of course, that is a huge rejection and
disappointment.
A disappointment. But then also thinking about, okay, but where else can I go? And where is my path trying to take me for my education? And that there's always another option. We just have to be open to it. And, you know, that's one specific example, but not letting, we don't, in the school example, we don't know why we're not accepted into a school. We know that there's thousands of applicants that are all probably similar. And sometimes it's just a numbers game. It has nothing to do with achievement, personality, intelligence, et cetera. Sometimes it just, the odds weren't in the, you know, your favor and it wasn't meant for you. And so really working on, okay, this wasn't meant for me, but what is? Having that curiosity of, okay, it sucks and it's painful that this is what I thought was going to be my life. And for some reason it's not, but what could be for my life? Where is my path trying to take me? What could be my next step? Instead of focusing on the what's wrong with me is a really helpful mindset to practice because it isn't personal.
And we can't change it. It brings us into a place
we can't control it.
We can't control it. We oftentimes can't change it. And we lose our power. We lose our ability to work towards what it is we really want or reassess what it is because it's a drag basically not getting, you know, we put so many expectations and so many, I don't know, so much process and so much activity and so much energy is gone into what it is we think that we have to have for our lives. And when it doesn't come through, we're devastated. And I think that feeling of devastation has to be felt. And I'm always going to be the person that talks so much about feeling the feelings because what happens for me if I'm, you know, I had married twice that as we talked about in one of the episodes about my marriage, the thought that I would be divorced twice was a major devastation.
You are not down with that.
No, it took me a long time to get over that. And isn't that interesting? It took me a long time to get over the marriage in general, but it took me a really long time to get over the fact that I was divorced twice. So that idea that feeling that you're rejected all the time or feeling like, oh, I've been through this before. I've been married once and divorced. Now I got to go through it again. And there are a lot of feelings and emotions that come with that because it brings up all those ugly feelings and thoughts and emotions and says, well, maybe I'm not good enough or maybe there is actually something wrong with me. And when I say something wrong with me, it doesn't mean that that means you don't have to go to therapy or seek anything to help you get over, move through, and understand your feelings. I did all of that. It doesn't mean don't get help.
Mm-hmm.
It means that there's nothing wrong with you. What you just experienced had a major traumatic effect on you. So go talk with someone, a therapist, or go talk with a dear friend so you can start to sort it out because sometimes we need help in sorting those kinds of things out. But one of my favorite teachers, Pema Chodron, she says this. I'll never forget reading her book. Nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need to know.
What book is that from?
So I stay, when things get hard.
When things fall apart.
When things fall apart.
I'll
when
link
things
it
fall
in the show
apart.
Notes.
Thank you. When things fall apart.
I thought so.
Nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. So I stayed open to learning. You know, well, what do I need to learn in this moment? What is this particular rejection teaching me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful.
Well, that's why I started the episode with, despite years of reframing my perspective of rejection and you too, we're still faced with it on a daily basis. And it's each experience is a little different. Each experience maybe has a different kind of pain or, you know, brings up different thoughts and feelings, but it's always teaching us something new.
Yeah. I mean, it really impacts the idea of the truth that we cannot ever control anything happening in the outside world, but we have 100% control over how we respond. And I think in several situations, I've come to the realization that I need to reframe rejection. Like how can, you know, I think our brains are so malleable. We actually, as you've always talked about, the groove in the brain, mm-hmm. we can change our way of thinking about rejection. We can change our way of thinking about everything. We can change our perceptions, how we perceive things. If I perceive myself as being the problem most of the time, I'm never going to get to a place of feeling okay when I feel rejected. So the idea of that maybe rejection is simply a means, or maybe this situation that's happening this time is a means for me to be redirected to something better. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's life is showing me or saying to me, look, this is not your path. This is not where you're meant to be. It's going to bring you more suffering. These are all the things yeah. that I kind of say to myself. It's going to bring you more out of alignment with exactly who you are. So isn't this a much better way to think of it? And we can actually start to, as you said too, Michelle, open that door just a tiny bit to, yeah, my perception might not be accurate because there is nothing wrong with me. I need help in situations, but there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to change myself. I may need to change some of my behaviors or some of my ways that I'm living my life, but there's not another person that can tell me that I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. I guess if that makes sense. I just I don't like the way that's worded when people say you're the problem.
Well, that is your trigger for
sure. It is my trigger. And that doesn't mean that when I was bulimic that I didn't need to get help, but it also doesn't mean that the people that I'm around or my family or friends or whatever it is aren't actually, and that's a whole nother episode, enabling, you know, our dysfunction or enabling our addiction or enabling whatever it is. It always takes two. And we're never the sole problem, I don't believe, when you're in a relationship or when you're in something.
No, it takes two to tango, like you said.
But I think it's a nice way to look at that. What if rejection is actually redirecting us to something better? Well, and the other thing I was going to say The other thing I was going to say about that was when we start to change our perspective, we start to change our view of trust. Mm-hmm. Like trusting that life is supporting us, God, Spirit, Universe, Holy Spirit, Lord. I say Lord a lot. I say, oh, Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. Whatever that entity is or that being is that you trust that they are supporting and guiding you. That person, she, he, they mm-hmm. are supporting and guiding you in the right direction because for some reason we're not getting it. And that's why I love Pema's quote, you know, nothing ever goes away until it teaches you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Like we're just not getting it in that moment that this is what we need to know. We're not meant to be here. And I can give a great life example of this. Is this the time to give that example that
Let's
I just
hear
shared
it.
With you recently? So when I was in sixth grade, we moved around a lot, but when I lived in Mendota, Illinois, for several years, starting from second grade to sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most comfortable time in my life for whatever reason. I really settled in there, maybe because we weren't moving so much. And I remember just really actually loving it. So sixth grade, we were getting ready to go into middle school. So my dad comes home from work one day and says, guess what? I've been transferred. We're moving. Mm. I did not think I was going to live another day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't thinking about suicide or any of those kind of things, even though my life was better, but it still wasn't great. I thought, you're kidding me. I'm just now feeling like I belong a little bit. I'm just now feeling okay. You're
the
kidding
rug
me.
Ripped out from underneath.
I feel like the rug was ripped out from underneath me. And I remember saying, cause I was the oldest of five, where are we going? And he said, Tipton, Iowa. Mm. And he said, it's a small little town. And we're going to live on a farm and we'll be about, you know, 20, 30 minutes or so from school. So you'll take a bus. I mean, I did none of this in Mendota. I walked to school. It was like a whole shift of, you are kidding me. I don't know if that's the kind of, I was in shock.
And you had just gotten into your groove after feeling like an outcast for so long. So that's traumatic for sure.
So I was devastated. And I guess I would ask, as you're feeling rejected, how would I feel today? I wasn't in my feelings, but I just remember feeling incredibly sad, incredibly disoriented. And I couldn't wrap my head around how this was going to work. And I think I went to bed that night praying that it would change. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic, so I was in Catholicism in my young, as a child growing up all the way through young adult. And I remember thinking, please, God, don't let this happen. This cannot happen. It will be the end of my life. It just can't happen. I couldn't see it. So that was the story. We moved to Tipton, Iowa. We were there a year and then moved back to Illinois, not to Mendota, but to Illinois. And Tipton was a disaster. I mean, it,
for you or for the family?
Everyone. In total. For everyone. Everyone. It was, you know, to be going to another farm and living on a farm, being so far, we were so isolated. I had no friend. I had no nothing. Mm-hmm. I just remember going to school and coming home. But what happened is when my mother passed away, my dad wanted to go on a tour of the country of all of the places we used to live. And I'm like,
remember that.
My gosh. And he was not feeling well and he was getting up in age. So I said, yes. Mm-hmm. So when we got to Mendota, I remember getting out of the car.
You went for the corn festival.
Yeah, the Mendota.
The sweet corn festival.
I love that so much. But I'll shorten this now. When I got to Mendota, I remember getting out of the car and starting to walk around, and I was totally disoriented because you can imagine, how old am I when sixth grade?
12.
12. And so I went back when I was 55, I guess, mm-hmm. maybe, or whatever. Not 60 yet, but 55, I guess. I remember getting out of the car. I was still living in Chicago.
I remember I took the train from Chicago to Mendota.
I got out of the car and I didn't recognize anything, but nothing had changed. If that makes any sense whatsoever, I had no bearings of where I was. And I thought my street that I lived on was here and we had to go try to find it. And it was just very disorienting. And I'm driving around and driving around. Not a lot had changed. And I got this deep feeling, you are not meant to be here, Barb. You are not meant to be here. Life has taken you in so many different directions since your 12-year-old little girl. You are not meant to be here. And I remember hearing this voice later in the day say, can you see what a blessing that devastation turned into? And I left there. I was so happy I did it. It was fun to walk around. It was interesting to see everything and to try to feel it all and to see my school and all
I remember we went and sat on the swings at the playground.
Yeah.
I think there's a picture of us.
I also remember going by our house and I remember you saying, it's so tiny. And there were seven of us living in it. Mm. You either said that or my brother.
I met you there. I remember going to the playground. I don't think we saw the house. And then we went to this festival.
Maybe it was my brother. And anyway, long story short is that took a lot of years to understand the blessing of that devastation, of that rejection. Mm-hmm. And so the whole moral of that story is,
thank goodness,
that sometimes it can take that long, but also if we can be just the slightest little bit open to it in the beginning, after you felt the feelings, if you can just kind of, because it relieves a lot of the anxiety, I think, and it helps us establish ourselves into who we are. And it helps us more than anything else, establish us into trust. Yeah. When I think about little 12-year-old Barb, had she trusted? Okay.
Well, she was a child.
I know. No. I'm not saying I would have.
No, I know. But
even you know, maybe 10 years, 22-year-old Barb or whatever it is. Just that idea of trust, having that inner trusting, knowing, you know, we have to learn what we have to learn until we know it. It's just like, I'm saying to develop that inner, that there is an inner knowing that you are being guided to where you need to be. And rejection is that alarm bell. Mm-hmm. Rejection is, hey, stop.
I think that's a great story because especially when we talk about healing, we think that it's got to be quick and it's linear, but it is a long journey and it's very up and down and twists and turns. And, you know, thinking of 12-year-old Barb coming to 55-ish-year-old Barb, having the perspective to look back and say, wow, I can see why things had to unfold in that way. And that, you know, had we had stayed in that town, maybe I wouldn't be where I am now. Maybe you wouldn't have met Dad, you know, like it is that, I think it's the butterfly effect where, you know, if one thing changes, everything changes. And, you know, I think really trying to look at your life like that, like,
I am where I am today because of everything that happened in my past, for better or for worse. And of course, we'll never try and downplay the trauma that has gotten us here. You know, the horrifying, unfair, cruel injustices that happen in our lives are never, that's not for a reason. But certainly our resilience and our perseverance and our healing and our commitment to living our lives and walking through our own unique paths does get us to where we are today. And so when thinking of rejection, it's fascinating to think of, instead of why not me, why not this, what's wrong with me, can we start to flip that mindset into, okay, but what else is out there? What's next? And if it's not this, it's that. And I remember I had a friend when I lived in New York years ago who taught me the affirmation, it's this or something better. And that's been a huge shift for me, especially when rejection, because I think if I want something and I'm not getting it and I get rejected, I'm going to affirm and believe and hold the trust that it's because that wasn't meant for me and something better is around the corner. And my cynic mind at that time could have been like, what do you mean something better? It could be something worse. How do I know? And we don't know what's around the corner, but having the trust and the faith and the conviction and the confidence and the belief in ourselves improves the ride, you know, and enhances the journey to what's next, and also fortifies you to, okay, if what's next is painful, I'm ready for it. And so, you know, it's this or something better really helps me, because it's also helping me to raise my standards, especially when I've thought about dating and relationships in general, especially, you know, when I think about some of the stuff we've gone through with our family. You know, we deserve to have good things. And if it's not at the level that we command for ourselves, we're not going to settle for lower. We're going to reach for something higher. And so I've always really loved that reframe, along with the mindset that, you know, the rejection is redirection. And, you know, it's a detour sometimes. You know, when you think about driving, you know, when you're on the road and going to, on your routines or going to work or going to school or whatever, you take your normal roads and one day the road is closed and you have a detour. And sometimes we're like, oh, I don't have time for this. I need to get to where I'm going. I don't know these roads. This is so frustrating. But sometimes those detours show you a new neighborhood that has a really beautiful park, or takes you past a coffee shop that you didn't know existed that you've been searching for. Or maybe you pass by a building that's hiring because you're looking for a job. That detour might have shown you some... Why are you laughing?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
That detour might have shown you something that you wouldn't have seen if you were on your regular road. And that's the whole concept of embracing life's detours, because we just don't know where those detours are going to take us.
I'm laughing. I love this so much, Michelle. The first thing I want to say before I tell you why I'm laughing is I want to really highlight one more time that we're never saying that we're grateful or blessed or happy that we endured trauma, abuse, any of those kinds of things. I've never been to a place, well, I'm so glad that I was sexually abused as a child. Look where my life is today. Those words have never come out of my mouth. And so that...
Of course.
It's never, as you said earlier, it's never that we're okay. It's never that we're blessed to have had that happen. It's through all the journey of it, we're blessed that we had the strength and the resilience and all the help and all the work and all the things to get to where our lives are today. I never would have imagined my life would be so wonderful as when I looked at my little Barb way back as a child. So just to clarify that, to make sure that we never come to that, I've never been at that place in any kind of trauma in my life where I've said, I'm so happy that trauma happened to me.
But I'm great. I think there's...
I'm grateful for where I am today and what it taught me.
Yeah.
And the whole process that I went through.
the empathetic person that it's made you and that it's made me, I think is a positive outcome of a very horrible situation.
That we can do this. You said it beautifully, that we do have the strength and the resilience and the confidence and all of the things needed to face anything that life is sending our way.
Mm-hmm. So why were you laughing?
So I was laughing because when you said the word detour, it struck a memory inside of me, and I just have to tell it really quickly. My sister and I, so I was probably 20. My sister and I were driving from our home, my parents' home in Southern Indiana, to Bloomington, Indiana, to Michelle graduated from there, and my sister graduated. We were going to something.
But I love old Barb stories, by the way. They're amazing.
They're not too boring.
No.
Anyway, we were in a hurry, though. We were running a little
In a hurry.
And Carolyn had to get there soon. So we're driving, and all of a sudden, halfway there, we get to a detour. And it says we have to detour. And Carolyn said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're not taking the detour. We don't have time.
Wasn't the detour you had to turn all the way back?
Let me tell the story.
Yep. Sorry.
You've heard this one then before. And she said, what do you mean we're not taking the detour? Well, it looks like it's open. I mean, there's a sign that says detour, but you don't see anything. I didn't see any road blockages. I didn't see any construction. I didn't see anything. And I said, so maybe they're just starting the process. So we're going to stay on the road. We're not taking the detour. We drove over 10 miles and got to the end. And there was a policeman at the end and looked at us like, what are you doing?
Was it winter too?
No.
Oh, different
story. And he came and he said, did you not see the detour sign? And I said, I saw it, but I started giving him this rambling thing. And he said, turn around, ma'am, now. So he turned around. So not only were we late, we were double late. If we were going to be late because we left a little bit late, we were really late. So the moral of that story I got back then, and this was before I was meditating and had gone to treatment and all the things that I am today, she goes, I didn't think we should do that. And I said, you know, I didn't either, but oh well, now we're really late. But I was really worked up. I had zero patience at the time and all of that. And so the moral of that story is, if life is sending you a detour, take it. Mm-hmm. You don't know where it's going to go, and you can always turn around. See, that's what I learned, and as I've reflected back on that.
Or change your path.
Or change. Nothing is permanent. Nothing in life is permanent. You have to trust the beauty of impermanence. That is a blessing and sometimes a curse. We don't like things to change, but things always will change. So trusting the beauty of impermanence is a lifesaver when you're talking about rejection, and that that rejection is redirection. It can be redirecting you to something, but then you also then maybe need to turn around again because it's never the end.
That's a perfect example, because when you are resisting the redirection and resisting the detour and doubling down on what you think is the right thing to do and that you know better than life, God, the universe, your path, whatever you choose to believe, and that you're going to white knuckle what you think is right. You're going to go 10 miles in the wrong direction at a dead end in the middle of Indiana and then get stopped by a police officer.
Yep.
And that was the same for me with that relationship. I white knuckled it for way, way longer than I should have because I thought it was what I needed or what I wanted or what was good for me. And it was painful. And so how can we not be in resistance to what, to where and how and what life is guiding us to? And can we be open to sometimes the subtle signs or the gut instincts or the red flags that are trying to signal to us that maybe this person, place, thing isn't, you know, maybe in our best interest anymore, or maybe that it's no longer in alignment. Maybe it was good for a moment, a reason, a season, not a lifetime, and it's time to move on. Picking up on those signs and signals that, maybe I need to do some extra reflection here and see what I'm being told right here. And why am I being given a redirection in this moment? And of course, all of this also requires patience. I think when we're in a rejection season and being guided towards something else, we get really antsy because we want the next thing or the next opportunity to be right in front of us. And we want to feel that relief that we'll be accepted again, or we'll be loved again, or we'll be guided to that next thing quickly. And just like with you and your driving and going the wrong way, just like with a regular detour, we have to have patience. And again, that is way easier said than done, because being patient in times of struggle or heartache or hardship or sometimes even desperation can feel impossible. But I do believe, and from my own experience, and I think, Mom, from your experiences too, that's when you have to double down, triple down, quadruple down on the faith, the trust, the self-love and self-compassion and affirmation that you're worthy, you're enough, and the right things for you won't pass you by.
Beautiful, Michelle. And I could not echo more those words of patience, because if you look at the story of me already feeling rushed, getting to the detour and saying to my sister, we don't have time, we're going to keep going on this same road. What ended up happening was, because of my impatience, we went all the way down there, 10 miles out of our way, had to come all the way back and then go take the detour.
So you could imagine. It is funny. Those Indiana roads, like there was no other way. No. You had to backtrack detour. Yeah. So you were
adding.
We're
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I mean,
perfect visual.
It's a perfect visual. And the idea that I thought it's all because of my impatience.
Yeah.
And my lack of trusting that life is moving me in the direction that I need to go if I want to get to where it is I'm trying to go. I'd like, you're right.
Well, and in that instance, like the detour wasn't going, maybe you were going to take different routes, but you're going to get to the road you needed to get to.
Exactly.
They weren't going to.
Yeah. I wasn't going to Chicago via way of Southern Indiana. Yeah. No, it was it's a very good visual to think that my impatience and my
resistance
for
and thinking that you knew better
and thinking that I knew better, that I could do that. And it was a huge life lesson of trusting that life is guiding me into that direction of where I need to go. And I think the thing that I would wrap up is the two things that have to happen when you're trying to deal with and feel rejection is trust. Mm-hmm. As you feel your feelings, first of all, you must feel the feelings and name it as rejection. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think the idea of feeling rejected sometimes feels too hard or too, like it sometimes can feel like we don't even want to go there, but it is a feeling of rejection after all, when we don't get the job we want or don't get into the school we want, or we're not in the marriage that we thought we'd be in for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. Naming it as rejection and then thinking about, okay, I just got rejected from this. Now what?
Yeah.
And as you start feeling the feelings, then now what? Feel the feelings. And as you start feeling the feelings, it'll help you open up your mind to the next step. And for me, the most important things of the next step, first of all, you can't beat yourself up during the feelings. I'm not going to say can't. That's not the right word to use, because we do. But move out of that as soon as possible. Move out of that as soon as possible, knowing that you did nothing, you know, you didn't do anything. You have to fix yourself. You need to sort out the idea of why you're feeling rejected, and it has nothing to do with your self-worth or who you are. It may just as simple be, like you were saying, it's not meant for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then move out of that that negative self-talk spiral that we sometimes take into the feelings and into the sadness and all of the things, and start to realize, wait a minute, trust yourself. You do have the confidence. You do have the ability. You are worthy, that your dreams will happen. So reflect a little bit on what are the dreams for my life, and believing deeply first that, you know, believing you're going to see it,
mm-hmm.
believing in yourself first, and then you're going to see it, trusting your timing, as you always say. So trust and patience are huge.
And like you said, with the Pema quote of nothing goes away until it teaches us what we need to know, just being open to what each new experience of rejection and being redirected is teaching you and helping you grow and giving you a new perspective, and also just giving you an opportunity to really lean on and embrace and practice the self-love and self-care and trust and even self-forgiveness that we always talk about in practice. Like, it's in those moments when we feel rejected and sad and desperate and despondent that those practices, we have to, like I said, double, triple down on them, because that's when we need them the most. And that's why we practice all of these things, even when life is seemingly, quote unquote, going well or feeling easier than normal. So it's just, you know, learning, picking up new insights, picking up different perspectives along the way and allowing it to allow us to stay open to life, to our unique paths. I think it's exciting to be curious and to maintain a mindset of curiosity of what could be around the corner. Of course, holding on to the visions and desires and goals and beliefs and values that I have and you have and we have, while also being loose and not rigid with what it looks like. You know, there are blessings and in disguise and things that come in packages that we might not have expected. And that's where that curious optimism comes in.
Beautiful, Michelle. The other thing I wanted to share too is that whole road taken, not taking the detour, is surrendering control.
Yeah.
Give up control of thinking that I can force outcomes and resisting what's happening and surrender to the flow that someone else knows better here in this situation and trusting that there's a better plan. And certainly that would have been a better plan. I don't know where we are, and I know we're probably at the end. Yep. Would you share that? You shared with me one of the affirmations, which is actually not an affirmation, but you said it comes to you a lot when you find yourself in a rejection and the idea of not getting what you want from the Rolling Stones. You used to tell me that used to play in
your
head.
Oh, you can't always get what you want?
You can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you get what you need.
Yep.
You said that used to come to you as you were going through the phases of rejection, especially during that relationship. And I think that's true. I believe we're going to get... We can get all the things in life for our dream that we want. We just can't maybe have it all at one time. We're so impatient, we want it all at one time. So I love that you shared that with me a while ago, that song.
And I like that song, and I also like the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing. That always was kind of like an affirmation for me, you know, that the difficult times don't last, and you have to maintain the belief and the trust in yourself and in your life.
I love you.
So don't stop believing.
So much.
And you'll get what you need.
I love
Journey
it.
Plus the Rolling Stones equals this episode of Barb Knows Best.
I love it. It's just good. So you have to lighten the mood, lighten the load a little bit. And sometimes having these fun little affirmations and these fun reminders and triggers that come to us. Oh, wait a minute. I don't always get what I want, but if I try, I'll get what I need.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
It is worth saying
stop believing.
That there is the power. I have a playlist of all of those songs that I like to listen to that are kind of those positive affirmations or reaffirmation of things. And thinking of the songs that give you that boost that you need and listening to them, I think there's a huge power in healing to music. So find the songs that help you during
Me
those
too.
Times.
I agree. I believe.
So if you're going through a season of rejection or feeling like there's roadblocks and you're just frustrated, I hope this episode has helped you in a little way to shift your perspective or maybe just be a little more open to a new pathway or a possibility, and don't give up on the dreams just because you haven't seen the results yet. I believe for all of us that what we want is possible. We just have to have patience sometimes. And so we're here for you and we love you and keep the faith. And thank you, Mom, for sharing your stories, as always. We love the Barb stories. And we love all of you. Thank you so much for listening to the show and being part of this beautiful community. We're so grateful for all of you. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date on each new episode as they drop. Give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review if you haven't yet. It's super helpful to us and to the show, and we're so, so grateful for all of you when you do that. If you have questions, comments, concerns, want to request a future podcast topic, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is always the best way to stay in touch. Lastly, there are a couple links in the show notes for our Substacks, for Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, and for us, and a link for our latest merch drop that we talked about last week. We have some really cute styles in honor and celebration of World Mental Health Day, and all proceeds from the merch sales will go to our nonprofit, Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, and my mom and I personally will be matching the sales and proceeds and Barb Knows Best, in addition, will be donating back to Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life as well for our programming for mental health, managing stress. We have some curriculum in the pipeline that we're really excited about and have been working really hard on, and all proceeds will go back to the nonprofit. So link in the show notes for that as well. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, as always. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.